We just feel the warmth and the love and your embrace here, and it's just great seeing the chaos with the children, and it's fantastic. We had my grandchild over last night sleeping. We had some friends over there too, and it was chaos there. But actually, it's fantastic because it brings personality and it brings character. And although it's hard work and we're exhausted this morning, because I've been there, I've done it, and I don't want to go there again, really. I've got four kids. But it's fantastic just to know that the love that we have, as Stephen said, that actually the same but greater love God has for you and I. And we're here this morning, Esther and myself. We don't actually work for Compassion. We're just volunteers. One of the guys in our church, Phil, he works for them. And he has to sometimes go out on his behalf if he's busy with other churches. So, and I'm glad I've drawn the large straw this morning of being amongst you guys. And we love and embrace Compassion. Because it reaches into lives and it changes lives. And their slogan is that it changes lives in Jesus' name. And what Compassion do, if you don't know much about Compassion, is that they partner with local churches in Ghana, Ethiopia, and all over the world. And they go to local churches and ask them, you know, what is the situation? Is there anyone that we can help? Is there any families we can help? Is there any underprivileged families that we can help and that we can change their lives? And what happens then is that the local church then engage Compassion into different areas of children's lives. And it's people like you and I that would take a sponsor form. We've got some at the back here. And I see that it was in Lucky, his name. What a fantastic name. And the guys here, which is absolutely fantastic, £151, to change the life. And we're going to watch a video right at the end of my message this morning about a guy called Richmond whose life was changed by actually a young, how old are you, sir? 16. A young girl called Heather, who was 15 years old, who decided to sponsor a young child called Richmond. And the change that Heather brought by sponsoring him, but not only sponsoring him, writing to him, encouraging him, telling him that God loves him, that God's got a plan and God's got a purpose. He is now touching so many other people's lives just through one teenager that was willing to probably do paper rounds, save the pocket money, just to send it out to change a life. And we've got some lives over in the back there that you will have an opportunity before you leave this morning to maybe change a life. £25 a month, which is a fair amount of money. But when I look at what I spend, when I look at sometimes the money that I just allow drip through my fingers, I easily let £25 a month go. But it changes somebody's life. And so Compassion, obviously they don't just feed the child, they don't just give it an education, but their prime purpose is to lead that child into a relationship with God. And as we see from Richmond at the end, he's now leading other pastors, training other pastors. He's now discipling all over Ghana and changing people's lives. And that's what Compassion does. And so it sends out people like Esther and I just to into churches and just to promote that and just to give you the opportunity. You're not going to get any hard sales from me this morning. I'm just going to lay this at your feet. And if it's something that you can do within your budget, or you think, okay, I'm going to change a few things, I'm going to reorganize my finances, and I'm going to take on a child, and I'm going to make the difference in somebody's child, that is a challenge that we will leave with you this morning. The children that we've got there are from different parts of the world. And if you as a church want to sponsor a certain area, we can organize that. But the most important thing is that we're touching a life. And that's what's important. That's what's important for our whole life this morning. We've heard that throughout the service this morning, that we're here to change the lives of people. We're here to go out on the street and to pray for people and to introduce them to a fantastic love that will never let them down. A love that will never cheat on them. A love that will never forsake them. A love that will always be constant. A love that will always be there to comfort and to help and to bring wisdom and guidance and knowledge and joy and peace and kindness and all the fruits of the Spirit. That's who we are. And I just want to look at three simple stories this morning, if I may. The first one is found in Acts chapter 9. And I'll just read it to you. It's Acts 9, starting at verse 36. And it says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name was Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became ill and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs into the room. And it says that all the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. You can imagine the setting here, that here's a lady that seems to be well loved. It says that she was well known for her good works. She was well known for helping the poor, for reaching out to people, being a help to people. And if anyone in around Joppa mentioned Tabitha or Dorcas, they say, yeah, we know that woman. You know, half the scarves, you know, down the road in the local shop have been knitted by her. You know, some of the hats in the co-op have been knitted by Dorcas. She's the one that goes and visits people when they're in distress or when they need help or, you know, when they're lonely. You know, we can always count on Dorcas. But, you know, as I was just pondering on this scenario earlier this week, I was thinking, I wonder what challenge that it laid in their own lives. As they were bringing the bits of clothing and the scarves and the bobble hats and probably the gloves and hats and glove sets and all that kind of stuff, I wonder what the challenge was in their own heart, thinking, I wonder what people would think about me if I was in her place. I wonder the day that I die, I wonder what people will say about me. I wonder what legacy I believe. I wonder if they'll say, do you know what, Paul was a great guy. He was always there for us. Anytime I needed a little job doing, he was always there. You know, anytime that, you know, somebody needed a bit of help, needed a bit of comfort, you know, needed some food, you know, Paul was always there. I wonder if they'll say that about me. I wonder what they would say about you. I wonder what legacy that we leave. And it's important, as the church, we're here, as it was said this morning, to change the atmosphere. We're here to bring love. We're here to bring kindness. We're here to bring change into people's lives. And sometimes it only seems small. Sometimes it can seem almost insignificant. But that insignificant move, that insignificant help, word of encouragement, word of love, that visit that you make to that person can actually change a life. In a moment, just one moment. And that life change begins to change other people's lives. And that's what we find here from Dorcas. And I want to just challenge us in that, is what will people say about us? Are we going about doing good? Do I leave church every Sunday and my life is not counted in other people's lives? Am I reaching out? Am I showing? Or do I just show up next Sunday morning? And it's a challenge to us. It's a challenge to us to lay down our life as a living sacrifice, as Paul says, which is our reasonable service. And giving our lives to God. Being inconvenienced. And instead of having a night maybe in front of the telly or a night where we just need to rest from a hard day's work, we know we should go out and visit so and so, because they need somebody to go around and sit with them. So and so has lost their auntie or their uncle or their dad or their niece or whatever has happened, and you just know that you've got to get in your car or you've got to get your coat on, especially these cold nights now, and go around and just have a cup of tea with somebody. Or a Saturday morning, ring somebody up and say, do you fancy coming into town? We'll go and have a cup of coffee there, and a bacon butty or a scone or whatever. And say, I just want to encourage you, I want to spend some time with you. And it's such a challenge because it takes us sometimes out of what we want to do with, out of our own comfort zones. But you know what, as we do, it makes a change and people see us in a different light. People see us as being the touch of God to them. You know, in Genesis, we hear about Abraham and the moment that God came and he touched his life and says that things are going to change and that you're going to be the father of many nations. He became a different person. I'm just going to read this. When Abraham was 99 years old, that's some age to start ministry, isn't it? The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. He said, walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make a covenant between me and you, and you will be greatly increased. You will greatly increase your numbers. He said, Abraham fell down on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. And no longer will you be called Abraham, but you will be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your God, and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants, and I will be their God. And it was all about God coming to Abraham and saying that I want you to leave a legacy. I want you to change the land that you're in. And I no longer want you to be a foreigner in the land, but I want you to possess the land. I'm giving it to you. And you're going to make a change. You're going to be fruitful. And you're going to increase. And all that God asked of Abraham at the time was, I want you to walk before me faithfully and blameless. And he had to make a covenant with God. He had to say, okay, I'll keep my side of the bargain. And I'm going to be faithful to you. As we read before, or as I said before from Romans, it says that we're to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, which is acceptable, which is our reasonable service before God. And this is what Abraham has decided to do. Okay, I'm going to walk before you faithfully. I'm going to walk before you blameless. And I'm going to present myself to you. Because I want this blessing on my life. Not only on my life, but I want to leave legacy that, as it says there at the end, that it will be an everlasting possession, this land. Whatever you do won't die when you die. When you die, you'll leave legacy. When you die, people will still be enjoying the blessing that you dropped into their lives. What legacy? We have the option of leaving. And so it says that Abraham bowed down, he fell on his face and said, I want this. And he made a commitment to God and said, okay, I'm going to serve you. And I don't know many of you this morning, I've only met you briefly, but maybe there's challenges in your world, not just about compassion now. This is just about being a Christian. This is about being who you are, the gift that you are to the world, the gift that you are to the church, the gift that you are to the person sat next to you. And that we all should be carrying responsibility. As Paul says, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. And I no longer belong to myself, but I now belong to God. And I serve him and serve the people around me. And I don't know what your gift is. I don't know where your talents are. I don't know what God has placed, what gold He's placed in you. I don't know what value and treasure is in your earthen vessel. But I know from everyone, from the back to the front, there is treasure that has been placed in you. And do you know what? While we're on this planet Earth, it's our responsibility to get that treasure out of this earthen vessel, Paul says, and begin to let it out. Let's not keep our account closed. Let's let everybody know our PIN number to our account that God has put in here. We have a treasure in here, Paul says, and that we're to allow it to spill out. Allow people to put our PIN number in and have what we've got. Sometimes that's costly. Sometimes it might mean emptying our pocket and helping somebody and resourcing somebody. Maybe it might mean counselling somebody and mentoring somebody for 12 months, 24 months. I've had spells like that over my life. There was one guy that I spent over 2 years, a drug addict. Jay, his name was. Fantastic guy. But just couldn't lift himself out. And I dedicated 2 years, and we didn't get very far at that time. But now he's moved back to Barrow, and I see on Facebook now he's doing well. He's now working for the NHS, he's got his badge on, and he's doing fantastic. I mean, he had a horrendous story growing up. He was abused by his dad, sexually and emotionally and physically. He was tortured. He wants his self-harm, all his arms cut to pieces. He had every drug that you could possibly want. He had voices screaming in his head. He would go into all sorts of dark, dark, dark places and wanted to be released from all this. And he lived on the streets and he was a total mess. And now he's doing fantastic. And somebody must have picked him up back when he moved back to Barrow and carried on whatever little I was doing in his world. And just looking at that, looking at how well he's doing, and just saying, God, whatever little I deposited in him, I'm just glad that I spent those 2 years. And it was hard work, and it meant that I had to put aside things that I would rather enjoy doing, invites out to meals, and this, that, and the other, and people were doing fantastic things, and no, I can't go, I've got to spend Saturday afternoon with Jay. But that's the cost sometimes. That's what we've got to do. Because we're not here to serve and please ourselves, we're here to serve the Almighty God. And the blessing of that is far richer than me going out and probably playing a game of bowls or doing whatever I want to do. And we find here that Abraham, his name was changed. He became a different person when he committed his way to God. He said, I'm going to walk before you faithfully. And God said, I'll change your name. You're going to look different. You're going to appear different. You're going to be a different guy. And you're not only just going to be a foreigner in the land now, you're going to possess the land. What a change that comes about when we make a commitment to God. And I want to encourage you in that. And then there's just one last story that I want to look at. And it's just in Matthew chapter 1. Again, I'll read it to you. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save their people from their sins. Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. We hear a lot, and we're coming up to Christmas time, aren't we? Well, it's Halloween and it's bonfire night, but we're coming up to Christmas. I mean, there's decorations out and trees up already in there. But we're coming up to Christmas time, and we hear a lot about Mary. We hear a lot about the wise men and the shepherds and the baby Jesus, and rightfully so. But actually, there is an incredible responsibility that was placed upon Joseph. And as we just read there, the custom of the day was, and he was keen to the law, that if your wife was found to be unfaithful, she was stoned. And so she should have been actually took out, exposed. I'm betrothed to her, I'm engaged to her, she's been unfaithful to me, and so stone her. And yet he knew he didn't want to do that, and so he wanted to put her away quietly. Because that was a custom, that was the law of the day. Now he didn't understand any of this. He didn't understand until the angel came that actually that she had a visitation from God. And he was about to put her away, he was about to change the course of his life. And then he had a dream. And in that dream, God laid an extraordinary responsibility on that man. And that man must have had big, big shoulders to actually take on the responsibility of actually somebody else's son. He was taking on the responsibility of somebody else's child in real terms. And he had to embrace that child as his own. Also, he had to take on the responsibility and take on the slander and the talk and the gossip that I'm sure that must have been going on now around the town that they live, is that, look, Mary is now pregnant, and look what's going on, and the questions that must have been going in people's minds. And that's why that he decided to take Mary as his wife and try and shut all this gossip down, shut all this talk down. But obviously, he didn't consummate, they didn't sleep together until Jesus was born. And there was so much responsibility that came upon Joseph's shoulders. God came to him and said, I want you to take this child on. It's yours. It's your responsibility. Mary has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. I've used Mary, your betrothed. I've used her to bring about the Saviour of the world. And if you will care for her, care for Jesus, give him his name, bring him up, raise him well, he will save people from their sins. And it says that he got up and he did everything that the Lord had commanded him. And I don't know about you this morning, but I am glad for Joseph that took on that responsibility that has changed our lives here this morning. That responsibility was Jesus. He brought him up, took him to the synagogue, took him to the rabbis, got him taught, got the word into him. And as we find out later on, at the age of 12, he was taking himself to church in the morning. Parents wondering where he was. And just like the young guy praying here, just reminded me probably of what Jesus was like in the synagogue, just praying out and just relating to God and being in relationship with his Father. The change that came because of a man that took on responsibility. And again, it's just another picture I want to use this morning. Not just for compassion. That's only just a small area of responsibility. I'm talking about our lives in general. The responsibility that you know that you have. The gift that you've got. The treasure that you've got. The responsibility is to say, okay, you may not have a dream. This is your dream this morning. It's me preaching to you. What a dream. This is your dream this morning. Someone's coming to you and saying, hey, you've got a responsibility. You've got a gift. You've got some treasure. You've got something awesome to deposit in somebody's life. And your responsibility is to take that treasure, look after it, and release it. And as you do that, it begins to change people's lives. When you're out praying for people on the streets on a Saturday, You're taking something of Jesus and depositing it into people's lives. And many, many things that we do in life, we don't see the fruit of. Many things that we do, we don't really know the outcome. Sometimes I just feel to smile at somebody. Sometimes it's just to give somebody a hug. Sometimes it's just to pay for their shopping. I've done all kinds of bits and pieces over my Christian experience of just dropping the love of God into people's lives. Just sharing a little bit of the joy and the riches that God has placed in my own world. And make a change in somebody else's life. And that we can change the course of somebody's life. Somebody that may be heading for depression. Somebody that may be heading for suicide. Somebody that could be heading for a life of anxiety and sorrow, upset. A life of addiction. That we can actually step into their world and change the course of their life. What a fantastic responsibility and joy and pleasure that we have in this world. And so Joseph took on the responsibility. And so we know the story then that Herod was coming and he had to say, right, Mary, pack up, get on the donkey, let's go. There was no Rolls Royces then, unless it was a Rolls Royce donkey, I don't know. But he had to sometimes pack and get off and get away and protect Mary and Joseph and Mary and Jesus and he was the man in charge. He was a man with responsibility. And he held that responsibility well. And because of that, like I said, we're here this morning. And as we handle our individual responsibilities, we'll find that we'll touch people's lives. People will start coming to church because of what you do. People will start being added to the kingdom. People's lives will start being changed through what you and I do. And just coming back to compassion. This is one avenue this morning where we have an opportunity of being able to change somebody's life. You may not be in a position where you can get out much. You may not be the kind of person that likes going out and praying for people on the streets. You may not be an extrovert. You may be just a very quiet person and that you just like doing things in quiet and in secret. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all not extroverts. We're all not introverts. God, thankfully, and gladly, has made us all so unique and so individual. And maybe it's just your little thing this morning. Do you know what? I can change somebody's life by sponsoring. And we're just going to play a video right now of Richmond, and then we'll close out. Okay.
When I was 8 years old, my father was taken away from us, and by that I mean he was murdered. Nothing was the same for me. News began to come to our doorstep. From our landlord, we got word that we couldn't stay in the house that we stayed anymore because we couldn't afford it. My mother had no job. My father was the only breadwinner. We moved from where we stayed to a place called Naguru Kasing, which is one of Uganda's largest slums. And then I was introduced to our new home, which was a 12 by 12 room. I looked up on the roof. It was a tin roof that had holes in it. I've been to places where when it rains, people are happy. They get excited. But for me, growing up, whenever it rained, that was the night we would stay standing. Get little buckets placed just where the holes in the roof are and wait until morning. A reality hit me that day. This was life. I remember when my mom said to us there was no money for food. That ushered us into a place where we were now going to begin to go to the street to fend for food. Hunger began to set in. lack of water. I was a kid, I think. I didn't have time to be a child anymore. As I lived like this on a daily basis, poverty began to speak to me as a child. I felt I was nothing. I didn't matter. Nobody cared to know my name. I think the best way I could describe who I was and what I thought is the word hopeless. My mother, in tears, approached one of her friends just to share with her friend, and her friend shared with her about compassion. Compassion staff members immediately came to our home. I remember them coming files to get detail of who we were, what our story was. I got the news that a young lady, Heather, she was 15 years old, a teenager. She had decided to sponsor me. I cannot find the words to describe the joy that filled our home when we got the news. Richmond, you've got a sponsor, which means you can now go back to school. It means food will be given to us because of you. I began to walk into that reality that ushered in me an opportunity to rekindle this hope that was taken away. Heather began to write to me, to hear words like, Richmond, I love you. Richmond, I'm praying for you. They began to bring healing into places that were destroyed by voice, poverty, and my self-image. I remember my day, June the 3rd, 1996. I walked forward to accept the Lord Jesus in my heart. I began to feel, wow, I have been released from poverty. I have been released. God began to continue to grow the leadership within me. And then I felt fully called to pursue pastoral ministry. I began the Pastor's Discipleship Network, a ministry that exists to train and equip pastors. And I spent a lot of my life training and equipping pastors in the Word of God. Looking back into my life, thinking where I am right now and what I'm doing, I don't think any of this would have been possible without compassion. Compassion works. Everything that was placed within the program has helped build me to who I am right now. Poverty is not just the lack of money, the lack of material, food, and water. Poverty is in. It's deep. I credit a lot of how I feel now about myself to those letters that I received from my sponsor. My name is Richmond Wandera, and I was released from poverty in Jesus' name.
What an absolute change that happened in his life. I met him last year at a conference, and just an incredible, humble man. But as I said before, the ripples now through one sponsor of the lives that he is now impacting is incredible. And so I just want to close, and you know, that Richmond could be a Walter, or it could be an Emily. I don't know. It might not be. They just might grow up. The whoever you sponsor, they may just grow up, and they just may help their family and help their siblings and help the mum and dad. I don't know. You don't know. But we're just called to be fishers, aren't we? Fishers of men. We're just called to go into the world and proclaim the gospel, helping the poor, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers. That's all we're called to do, to change lives. Lord, we thank you this morning for, Lord, our time together, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the responsibility, Lord, that you lay upon our lives, Lord. And Lord, we pray as we just finish here and we hand back to Steve, Lord, that as Blackburn Community Church, Lord, that we would take on the responsibility of being who we are to the world that we live in. Being who we are to the town that we live in, Blackburn, and to the street that we live in, to our families and to those that we touch through our workplaces. Lord, that we would be the love of God, that we would be the grace of God. Lord, that we would be the joy, and that we would be the compassion, that we would be the provision, be the provider, that we would be the helper. And Lord, through demonstrating the love that's shed abroad in our hearts, that others may see that you have brought a change in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that as we just consider compassion and we consider lives that still need changing, Lord, that you just speak to us just in these few moments. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's any in here, Lord, that have a desire, Lord, that they would, Lord, that they would make a commitment in their heart. Lord, we want to thank you for the richness that you've placed in all of our lives. We thank you for the country that we're in. We thank you for the provision that we have. We thank you for the blessing that we enjoy. Lord, we thank you for the stuff that we don't think about day by day, turning lights on, turning taps on. Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that we would go with a real sense of spilling out this treasure that are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to hand back to Stephen. If you want to just, Esther and I, we'll just be on the back there. We've got some profiles. If you're not quite sure, we've got some literature that you can take away and you can contact us at a later date. You need to think about things, talk to husband, talk to wife. But if you want to sponsor somebody, we'll sign you up this morning. We'll leave that with you. Thank you for listening to us. We've been real blessed being amongst you all this morning.
Thank you. So we can go and talk to them, pray, what a challenging message. So I love that verse in Romans, that in light of all what God has done, how blessed you are by God throughout your life, what through the challenges, whatever. Therefore, act like a living sacrifice. Yeah? So, and then you'll be blessed as well. So God is good, isn't he? God is good. We're going to close our worship. Let's worship God. Thank you. That video was incredible. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for coming and talking to us and challenging us. And do you know, even you're all doing this, a lot of you, but even going around having a brew with somebody or whatever you do, we call them seeds of the kingdom of God. They're sowing as many seeds for the kingdom of God, and God will water them and they grow and there'll be a harvest. So. Is in you.
give my soul. I'ma live for you alone. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm waiting, will have your way. This is my